Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. If you've been listening to us over the past several broadcasts, you know that we are going through, point by point, a speech called The 14 Fundamentals in Following the Prophet. Of course, the context is the Mormon prophet, a speech given by Ezra Taft Benson in February of 1980. A speech that was brought back to life in October of 2010 when two LDS 70s, also in General Conference, went through this speech point by point.
We're in the middle of this, Bill, but if anybody hasn't heard the previous shows, where can they go to find those?
They can go to mrm.org, and there's a box on the right-hand side that says On Air. If you click on that, you will see a complete list of several shows, all of the shows that we have done on Viewpoint on Mormonism. Catch all of our back editions on there as well. Point number 9, Eric says, the prophet can receive revelation on any matter, temporal or spiritual.
Brigham Young said this, some of the leading men in Kirtland were much opposed to Joseph the prophet meddling with temporal affairs. In a public meeting of the saints, I said, ye elders of Israel, will some of you draw the line of demarcation between the spiritual and temporal and the kingdom of God so that I may understand it? Not one of them could do it. Young goes on to say, I defy any man on earth to point out the path a prophet of God should walk in or point out his duty and just how far he must go in dictating temporal or spiritual things. Temporal and spiritual things are inseparably connected and ever will be. Now, that was all said by Benson in his speech.
Isn't it seem a little strange at how often he quotes Brigham Young in this speech? I mean, he seems to quote Brigham Young more than any other source.
And he's probably the most controversial. I think probably the two most controversial figures, general authorities, would probably be Brigham Young and Bruce R. McConkie.
Yeah, and I think a lot of Mormons, as well as evangelical Christians, probably have a problem with how much the Mormon prophet wants to get involved in their temporal affairs. I mean, let's be serious. Up until the late 1990s, they were saying to the Mormon membership that they were not allowed to practice birth control of any kind. And then all of a sudden, in the late 1990s, they reversed that position, saying that because it was a personal matter, they were not going to have any instructions on birth control anymore. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, wasn't it always a personal matter? Wasn't it not too terribly long ago when one of the Mormon prophets, I think it was Gordon Hinckley, who got up and actually were telling members how many earrings they could have in their ears? I mean, come on, how intrusive can these leaders get? But yet, here he is quoting Brigham Young, supporting the fact that they can get involved in these kind of issues. Point number 10, that's a real hot button issue right now, because we are in an election year. But in point number 10, the prophet may be involved in civic matters.
Here's what Benson said. When a people are righteous, they want the best to lead them in government. Alma was the head of the church and of the government in Book of Mormon days. Joseph Smith was mayor of Nauvoo, and Brigham Young was governor of Utah. Isaiah was deeply involved in giving counsel on political matters, and of his words the Lord himself said, quoting from 3 Nephi 23:1, great are the words of Isaiah.
Yeah, we need to put the reference in there because certainly there's nothing in the Bible that says that. But he's quoting from the Book of Mormon. When he talks about when people are righteous, definitely a righteous people want righteous people to guide them. But when you make the statement that the prophet may be involved in civic matters, with the mindset we have in the United States of the separation of church and state, this rubs a lot of people the wrong way. Not that I personally do not believe that the church, any religious people, should not have some say in the political workings of a particular government. I'm not saying because they're religious they need to be censored. There are a lot of people in our country right now that do have that kind of a feeling. But when he says at the very end of this point, those who would remove prophets from politics would take God out of government, that scares a lot of people. It frightens a lot of evangelical Christians who wonder, if we were to have, for instance, a Mormon president, would that president be influenced by the leaders in Salt Lake City? Benson seems to open the door to that possibility. And remember, folks, this speech was repeated just a couple years ago. It was being repeated for the benefit of two groups of people. Those who probably remembered it when it was first given in 1980 to remind them of the position of the Mormon prophet in Mormonism, and no doubt also to introduce what the church believes to its newer members who were not even part of the Mormon church back when this speech was first given on February 26, 1980.
You and I live in Utah, Bill, and we have a state legislature, and I read the paper on a regular basis. When it's in session, every single issue of the Salt Lake Tribune seems to have a letter to the editor from somebody, usually with Salt Lake City as their city, because there are a lot of liberals here in Utah. I don't know if a lot of people realize that, but they are always going after the Mormon church and saying the church is meddling in the affairs. And there are a number of issues in this last legislature that they were criticizing the church, feeling like even though they did not come out and say as an official statement or on their website that the church was involved in certain matters, and it really ticks a lot of people off.
There are a lot of people here in Utah that feel that the Mormon church has too much of an influence in how the state is governed. I've often chuckled when I watch the Days of 47 parade. Now, I know the Days of 47 parade is a parade to commemorate when the Mormon pioneers came into Utah.
What does that mean, 47?
Well, 1847 is when they came in.
And July 24th is the day that they have this parade.
Sure. But if you'll notice when you watch the parade, the president of the church or one of the higher ups seems to ride first.
Yes, he
does. And then the governor and other legislators come behind it. And it always kind of was a political picture for me. Now, I know it's the Mormon parade, okay? But it always kind of set the tone for me when I watched this to say, that's kind of how things operate around here, probably to a certain extent. But as you mentioned, you're not going to hear the Mormon church be very overt on a lot of political issues. But I think a lot of people realize that because of the strength of the Mormon church and the influence it has in Utah, there's probably a lot of behind the scenes influence going on.
And the church, though, makes a very big point to stay out of the politics, whether it's a local or even national. We have a Mormon candidate for the GOP, and they are purposely going underground. They do not want anything to be linked to them as if they were trying to promote their candidate.
But certainly we know that a lot of Latter-day Saint members are strongly behind this candidate. I mean, his headquarters is in Orem, so I mean, they know that they're all working for him, and I think it's a foregone conclusion as to how the state of Utah is going to go. In point number 11, he says the two groups who seem to have the greatest difficulty in following the prophet are the proud who are learned and the proud who are rich.
There's only two choices here, Bill.
Yeah. I just find it kind of intriguing here. There's always something wrong with you if you disagree with the leadership. And that's usually the mindset of many Latter-day Saints, especially when it comes to those who eventually leave the Mormon church. I was just reading a note that I just got from an LDS gentleman written to me, and he was making that same kind of comment, that there must be some kind of sin in their life if they are to leave the Mormon church. It can never be because these individuals found out there was something inherently wrong in how they reported their own history, or even what their history was all about, or had some kind of biblical disagreement with some of the doctrines of Mormonism. That can never be a plausible option. It always seems to be, in the minds of many Latter-day Saints, that the only reason people leave is because they have some kind of flaw in their morality. And that's not fair, because you and I both know from experience in talking to many Latter-day Saints who have left, many ex-Mormons, that many of them did not want to leave the LDS Church. They felt very secure in the Mormon Church. It was comfortable for them, but in their conscience, they could not stay and support or sustain leaders who were saying the things that they disagreed with.
He said right after he gave that point, this is what he said, the learned may feel the prophet is only inspired when he agrees with them. Otherwise, the prophet is just giving his opinion, speaking as a man. The rich may feel they have no need to take counsel of a lowly prophet. And again, I find it interesting. There's no third option. You're either, if you're not following me, it's either because you are rich or because you think you know more than the prophet does.
We need to repeat what you just quoted there, because that's a good catch. We could not let that go, because in talking to many people, whether they're rich or learned, I don't know who I'm talking to half the time. I don't know their education background or what their bank accounts look like. But the fact is, we have heard this argument brought up so many times from Latter-day Saints who happen to disagree with a statement that we might bring up by a Mormon leader, where he says the learned may feel the prophet is only inspired when he agrees with them. Otherwise, the prophet is just giving his opinion, speaking as a man. If you're a member of the LDS Church, I want to ask you, have you ever used that argument when somebody brought up something about a past prophet or something a past prophet said? Did you ever use the argument, well, that was just their opinion? Mm-hmm. Brigham Young was just giving his opinion. Bruce McConkie was just giving his opinion. They were speaking as a man, even though what they said may have been spoken in general conference, spoken at a BYU devotional, written in a book. And I think we need to emphasize, as their own manuals point out, that when they are even given their opinions, they should be heeded because of the position that these men hold in the Mormon Church. This is not a light issue with them.
And as we said in yesterday's show, it's not, they may not have a PhD, but they have an LDS.
LDS. That was the phrase Benson used, yeah, correct.
And I think that we need to understand that these leaders really do believe they have the authority to speak on behalf of God, and that they should be listened to by the membership.
This ties in with point number 12. It's not worth going in too much depth, where he says the prophet will not necessarily be popular with the world or the worldly. In other words, if you're a Latter-day Saint and you disagree with what your prophet says, you're probably rich, you're probably learned, or maybe you're worldly, and that's why you disagree with what the leader said. There's no good reason in the eyes of the LDS leadership for you as a member of the Mormon Church to disagree with what your leaders are telling you. So you need to fall in line if you are going to show your faithfulness to not only their leadership, but to the church itself and to God.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear past editions of more than 100 shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is available on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the box that says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.